Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
This just into our newsroom, a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
That was another plane.
Seems to say.
An airplane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
All is lost.
There appears to be a gaping hole.
Gone away.
Oh, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes, there it goes.
But I know.
The whole site has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed.
Not alone.
Tower 2 has had a major explosion and a complete collapse.
By the light.
The roof has collapsed in one of the towers.
She stands.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
There she waits.
We're not going to be cowered by it, that we're not afraid.
The freedom-loving nations of the world stand by our side.
Shimmering stars.
Proud to have the red, white, and blue.
Westward wind.
This country will not relent.
Show the way.
Proud to be a part of this country.
Carry me.
I think about the families, the children.
To the place.
Freedom itself was attacked, and freedom will be defended.
She stands.
Forget the 2,800 people.
Police and fire not only were heroes at the beginning, but they're still heroes.
Binds us with red.
We're going to come out of this emotionally stronger.
Those that die.
And the commitment of our fathers is now the calling of our time.
Wise to
wise. I don't think anybody should forget the visions of that day.
By the brave.
Those guys did more than anyone ever expected of them.
In this tree.
They messed with the wrong city. They messed with the wrong state.
She stands.
And I just don't want people to forget.
When evil calls itself a modern.
They all had a sense of duty to protect us all.
When all your hopes come crashing down.
We'll be steadfast in our determination.
Someone will pull us from the rubble.
The rest of the country now understand who the true defenders are.
Hills caress you. May her lakes and rivers bless you.
We see the flying sword and tatter.
May the luck of the Irish enfold you.
We've seen her stand the test of time.
May the blessings of St. Patrick behold you.
And through it all, the fools have fallen.
God bless Ireland, and God bless the United States of America.
There she stands.
Now America's embracing a new ethic. And a new creed. Let's roll.
The phrase New York's finest and New York's bravest means something now, doesn't it?
This is a time to reflect and be thankful for where we are today.
And through the fire,
we will rebuild New York City.
She stands.
Yet after America was attacked, it was as if our entire country looked into a mirror and saw our better selves.
And saw our better selves. It's hard to imagine. It's 16 years later. I was just telling my team over here that every time I hear that montage song that was put together, Jason, I know you did this years ago, it just gives me goosebumps. And everybody's, I'm telling you right now, I've already got texts. Oh, I will need a copy of that. We'll put it up on the website. We'll try and play it later in the program as well today. It is an amazing, sobering thing to hear all of that to me every time. And I was texting and emailing with a friend before the show today, and I'm like, you know, this person was in third grade at the time that this happened, remembers the name of the teacher, what was going on, what happened, and you know, my daughter was born on August 29th, 2001, just a few days, obviously, before this happens. It just, I remember that day like it's yesterday, and it all comes rushing back, the memories. You know, it's, I wrote a book after this in 2004, Deliver Us From Evil. It is such a hard thing for good people to wrap their arms around the concept that there really is evil. But there is. There's darkness. There are people that, for whatever reason, you know, when evil calls itself a martyr, it just captures everything, that line in Michael W. Smith's song. That is what radical Islamists, they call, they think they're martyrs. They tell their kids, strap bombs on you, go get yourself 72 virgins in heaven. It's pretty amazing that you can be so sick, so disgustingly twisted and evil. You know, but you think of a lot of human evil. I remember walking through the history of human evil in that book saying, all right, there's 100+ million souls that were slaughtered in the last 100 years of human history. Nazi Germany was evil. Nazism, evil. Fascism, evil. You know, the former Soviet Union under Stalin is evil. Radical Islam is evil. You know, the latest evil, here you got a saber-rattling madman, you know, known as Kim Jong-un, following in the heels of his father, Kim Jong-il, you know, now has nuclear weapons because we are so stupid. Bill Clinton said, well, this is a good deal for the American people. Now, it's not a good deal to give despots, this guy's father, billions of dollars with the promise that all of a sudden they're going to be good. There are some people that are never going to be good. And the only thing they seemingly understand is the use of force. And it's hard for people to grasp that. You know, you think on just a local human level. Isn't murder to some extent just pure evil? And I'm not talking about self-defense. I'm talking about, you know, somebody that is so addicted to drugs they can, you know, beat up a grandmother or shoot an innocent person and kill the innocent person or paralyze an innocent person. Or how does anybody abuse a child in life? That's evil. Or the rape of a woman is pure evil. And people have this on a small level, and governments have it at a large level. You know, America's creed has always been to stand up for goodness. And I think back to that day, and I think back, it's such a shock. You know, then look at the issue of billions and billions and billions of dollars transported to Iranian mullahs with the promise that they're not going to spin their centrifuges and they're going to allow inspections. It's a bad memory. It's like, what part of the North Korean deal didn't you understand to do something that stupid? And we're going to end up one day in the same situation we now find ourselves with North Korea. There's no good options. You know, the next thing that's probably going to happen is you're going to see the North Koreans fire another ICBM or another missile that they want to fire over Japan, and more saber rattling, although they'll shoot this one towards Guam. And America's going to have to take that sucker out of the sky. It's going to happen. That's probably the next step. That would be what I'd anticipate. And then what's he going to do then? And, it, you know, as Newt said, how do we know the next missile he puts on the launch pad doesn't have a nuke on it? We have to assume the worst unless this guy opens the door for inspections, which I don't see happening. So then the result is, all right, we're going to take out his nuclear sites. We're going to take these missiles off of the launching pad. And then what is he going to do? Is he going to, you know, attack South Korea? Is he going to fire a missile, a real missile, a nuclear weapon at Japan or China? And there's no good options here. And there's going to be no good options with Iran either. North Korea today warning the U.S. of the greatest pain if the sanctions pass. All right, that's great. Also a headline in the U.K. Telegraph, North Korea secretly helped by Iran to gain nuclear weapons, according to British officials. North Korea may launch another ballistic missile tomorrow. And experts warn as Kim Jong-un plans to celebrate the anniversary of his crazy kingdom's founding. And how, you know, we're literally naked. Then we have to incinerate them. And then there's potential nuclear fallout, because God knows what's going to happen if we take out the nuclear sites. And then there's the risk of retaliation. Then there's the risk that potentially millions of other people can die. You've got to grasp this concept that there is evil. Now, on 9/11, we saw pure evil, but we also saw a goodness and a greatness in humanity that we'd never seen before. I mean, you think of the bravery of the firemen, policemen, first responders, volunteers, all these guys know the buildings surrounding them could probably collapse any minute, and they're literally on fiery rubble trying to find and recover people that still might be alive. And then literally New York, not exactly known as the friendliest city in the world, every single person is uniting and literally 24/7, you know, I'd never forget Campbell's Soup opened up free soup for everybody, free food for everybody. And that went on for a while. And everybody got that we have an enemy and we didn't address radical Islam. We had ignored the Khobar Towers, ignored the embassy bombings in Kenya and Tanzania. We ignored the USS Cole. We ignored the First Trade Center bombing, and we had to do something. You know, recently I was listening to Howard Stern's 9/11 program, and he's having, as usual, a great fun time, and then every minute it gets more serious and more serious and more serious, and I guess his program director, a station manager, comes in. Yeah, the Trade Center was hit. The Second Trade Center was hit. Oh, yeah, the Pentagon's hit. Oh, a field in Pennsylvania. And you just know it's a terror attack. You know, and, you know, I don't even want to call attention to it. It's some politically incorrect things are said. And it's just like, you know, we've lost touch and sight of the fact that we do have enemies. And forget about the differences that we have. You know, we saw, like, for example, I'm going to show you a looting video tonight. We'll give you examples of price gouging that took place in Florida. But that was the exception, not the rule. For the first time, I'm the biggest, you know, small government conservative that you'll ever meet. But government kind of stepped up and both in Texas and Florida, and it was kind of cool to see state, local, federal government coordinating, having learned the lessons of Katrina and other failed hurricane operations. And they pre-positioned even Navy ships off the coast. I mean, the president literally called in the Marines for Irma rescue operations. Thank God it moved west. The people cooperated. And then you get a few idiots that, you know, do things they never should have done. But the majority of people got it. State government, Governor Scott got it. Governor Abbott got it. You know, Pam Bondi got it. Dan Patrick got it. The White House got it. They pre-positioned food, water, medicine, cots, baby formula, pillows for everybody, and they were ready to go. And thank God it just wasn't quite as bad as we thought it was going to be. All right, we got a lot of news today. We do have North Korea news. We do have news out of Washington. It is the 16th anniversary, 9/11/2001, the 5th anniversary of what happened in Benghazi. And we'll get to all of this today in the course of the program. Kellyanne Conway will join us. Tonto Peronto, my buddy, one of the heroes of Benghazi. Dana Rohrabacher will join us, and so much more. We'll get to your calls today as well, your memories and recollections. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. Quick break, right back. We'll continue. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity show, and listen, I've got to give the shout-outs to all those people in Florida that got into things. We're going to talk to Joe Bastardi, talk about the westward shift of the storm and where it ranks on the scale, and then we've got a lot to get to today. Bannon was on 60 Minutes last night. Hillary Clinton now doing her interview tour. She's so dull. She's so boring. And I think Bannon's right. I don't think she's particularly bright. I want to take a minute today. It's a tough day all the way around. I mean, it's the anniversary of 9/11, 16 years later. Benghazi, Tonto Peronto joins us later. I want to ask you all to keep a couple of people in your thoughts and prayers, not only the people in Florida and Texas. Of course, we're going to continue to follow through. My good friend Eric Bowling lost his only child on Friday night, and I know how much he loved his son, as did his wife, and I can't think of anything harder, more challenging, more difficult. Literally, in the course of 5 hours, he had separated with the Fox News channel and was moving on, and Troy Gentry. So, you know, if you can keep Eric Bowling in your prayers, Troy Gentry of Montgomery Gentry also passed away at a helicopter accident late Friday. And Linda would not tell me during the show, because rightly so, she knows that I just have a hard time. I'm not the best person to deal with death. And it's just me. It's hard. It's the hardest thing you ever do. I mean, one thing I've learned in the course of my life, and I've been writing with Eric all weekend, and I just, you know, as I said, I don't know anyone that's had, except, you know, all these parents that I've met over the years that have lost their sons and daughters. And I just remember looking at them and thinking to myself, how do you go on? It's so hard. And they do. They endure. They fight through it. But there's not, it changes you forever. And Eric lost his only son. Troy Gentry had helped us with a lot of our freedom concerts and raising money. And just an amazing, talented, gifted, and generous human soul that I just had come to love and really like a lot. I loved their music forever. So in the course of your day today, as we pray for those military people we lost as a result of 9/11 and those that have been injured and the families that lost people on 9/11. And of course the families of the heroes of Benghazi, you know, please, I'd ask you to keep Eric Bowling and Troy Gentry in your prayers. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
I can't say enough about how they have shown up and they're continuing to show up to do the right thing. Our military not only defends the freedom of this country, but they show up when there's a crisis. I just received a weather briefing on Tropical Storm Irma's continued path through our state. It's been downgraded to a tropical storm and has sustained winds of 65 miles per hour. Here's what we're seeing across our state. Storm surge across South and Southwest Florida range from 4 to 8 feet. Monroe County experienced an estimated 10 feet of surge at landfall. Miami-Dade experienced approximately 4 feet of storm surge. What's interesting about the storm surge is it's totally different than Andrew. A lot of us remember Andrew, and we didn't see the storm surge in Andrew. It was more of a wind event. In Tampa, we're seeing 2 to 4 feet of storm surge right now, and this will last throughout today. We're seeing surge of 3 to 6 feet along the Big Bend. And if you remember, the Big Bend and further in the Panhandle last year and Irma got significant storm surge, and we saw a lot of damage. In central Florida, in the Orlando area, we're seeing flooding due to a torrential rain of more than a foot. In Jacksonville and northeast Florida, storm surge is 3 to 5 feet on top of more than a foot of rainfall, which is causing record and historical flooding along the St. Johns River. They also explained to me this morning in the weather briefing that Hurricane Jose is also pushing water into the northern part of our state, which is preventing the water from flowing out as fast. I spoke to Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry this morning and assured him that resources are being deployed. Fish and Wildlife Commission immediately deployed 3 search and rescue teams with 22 officers and 10 boats that were pre-staged in the region to Jacksonville. We're going to do everything we did. The way I look at it is, as governor, and all of us think this way, we want to keep everybody safe through this storm, and we want to keep everybody safe back after this storm, and we get everybody back to a normal life as quickly as possible. We've also deployed a 25-person team from the State Emergency Operations Center to the Emergency Operations Center in Putnam, Duval, and Clay counties in response to this historic flooding. We will continue to send resources to Jacksonville and any other community in need. Rainfall exceeding a foot in many communities in northeast, central, and southwest Florida. Fortunately, the heaviest rain has cleared the state. However, this rain caused flash flooding in northeast Florida. Rivers across the state continue to rise, and standing water remains an issue over the entire peninsula. The biggest threat for this week as Irma leaves Florida will be river flooding. and most of it's going to be in the northern part of the state. Stay attuned to local advisories for river flood watches and warnings. Families in southeast and northwest Florida, as well as the Tampa Bay area, need to be especially vigilant as local rivers could remain at flood levels into this weekend. And we generally see that in the I-4 corridor north. The heaviest winds have now left Florida, but the entire peninsula experienced at least tropical force winds with hurricane gusts being felt as far east and north as Jacksonville. Thankfully, the threat of tornadoes has diminished. We've received 7 reports of tornadoes, including 2 in Brevard County. The National Weather Service is working to confirm these reports. Given this weather report, if your family and you and your family have evacuated, it is extremely important that you check with local officials before returning home to make sure you can safely do so. Don't go back. Don't think just because this thing packed, you can run home. Or passed, you can run home. We've got down power lines all across the state. We've got roads that are impassable still across the state. We've got debris all over the state. Our goal, again, is don't put any more lives at risk. We already went through this horrendous storm. Don't put your life at risk because of down power lines, debris, impassable roads. This morning, I had the opportunity to travel with the Coast Guard and Admiral Schultz to survey damage throughout the west coast of Florida and through the Keys. I want to thank the Coast Guard for this opportunity. And here's what we saw. We saw the remnants of the storm surge along the West Coast, but we didn't see I didn't see the damage I thought I would see. We clearly saw homes that were messed up. We clearly saw roofs that were off. We clearly saw boats out of the place and things like that. But I thought we would see more damage. There's still flooding. There's still sand on the roads and things like that. But on the West Coast, and this is confirmed by the mayors I've spoken to today, it's not as bad as we thought the storm surge would do. Now, when you get to the Keys, we were able to fly into the Naval Air Station in Key West, which, as of just a few hours before we landed, had significant water still on.
All right, 21 now till the top of the hour. That is Governor Rick Scott. I got to give a lot of credit to the governor, state, local officials. Again, just like in Texas, did an amazing job. Federal government was there. I mean, you know, to think that they had pre-positioned everything people would need. The people of Florida listened. I know it went a little more westward than they thought. Oh, why did I leave? Because you're smart and you don't want to risk your life. That's why you left. And you always err on the side of caution. This was a massive storm. And, you know, the president had even called in the Marines for Irma rescue operations. One thing I want to warn everybody about, the governor mentioned this, Jacksonville, Florida, WOKV, our affiliate down there. They're warning people in evacuation zones A and B along the St. John's River to get out because the river is at historic flood levels, likely to get worse right now as we speak. And so I think people are doing that. It's still a tropical storm as it now heads north, and still a lot of people are going to be impacted by this storm. We have yet to really get the true damage of all of this. I love the fact that 4 Navy ships and Marines were redeployed to help the people in Florida, and including, by the way, the main support force, the 26th Marine Expeditionary Unit based out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. All those Marines all sent down there all ready to help people. 7 million plus people without power in Florida as we speak. And then, of course, you got the people that just, you know, just jerks. At least 32 looters arrested. We got some of that video we'll show you tonight. Thieves prompt a SWAT standoff in the middle of all this. Like, this is what we need law enforcement to have to deal with. Joe Bastardi is with weatherbell.com. Where does this rank in terms of storms that we have experienced in the country?
Well, it's probably going to wind up in the top 10. As far as Southwest Florida goes, it did not beat Donna in 1960. Remember when we were talking on Friday, I was alluding to this thing going down into Cuba for a while, and that certainly really mitigated the intensification process, because not only did it stop it from intensifying over the Florida Straits, it also weakened it a bit over northern Cuba, and then it had to start over again. So when it got to the Florida Keys, while it was a borderline Category 4 hurricane, it was not what it would have been if it stayed away completely from Cuba. And so that was a fortunate break. And the last part of the storm, it weakened coming to the coast. What happens is, if you look at the tracks of the 35 hurricane, I should have thought more about this. That storm weakened after it came to the Keys, as it was parallel on the Florida coast, because you get upwelling, that east wind that comes off in Naples, for instance, the wind's blowing out of the east, causes the water to cool a little bit, and there also is drier air coming in from Florida into the storm center. You know, it's a relative term in that they did not experience the worst storm in Southwest Florida history. Donna remains that, but this is still a top two or three storm where this hit, and as well as in the Florida Keys.
You know, it's so funny. And look, we haven't yet to assess the true and real damage, and I really want to get to that. They're actually, you know, have shown some of the Jacksonville footage on Fox. You know, so you write me a note this morning. Now, this was a dead-on hit. My southern home, which I never get to, like a week or two a year, is down in Naples. And everybody knows, so Southwest Florida. And I just have friends and family down there that I just love, and so they're hit. And then you write me a really nice note today and say, oh, by the way, what is it, Hurricane Jose is headed for your, exactly pinpointed at your house up in New York. I'm like, that's so nice of you, Joe. I really appreciate all the good news you're bringing to me. Friday, you tell me, you know, one home is hit, and then my other home is hit the next day. Thanks a lot.
Over the years, what I've done.
Weasel out of that one.
Over the years, I've told you, you know, a week and a half, it's Sandy, 10 days before, you better look out. Some of them don't work out, but I can identify threats when I can see it, and I can certainly see the pattern that's causing this. It's in line with what we thought was going to happen this year.
Other storm, Jose, is, if you had to guess right now, you'd say it's on a track to hit the Northeast, specifically New York. That's in Long Island,
here's what I say. It's going to do a loop and come back. I just showed you the U.S. generated model, which interestingly enough is in the middle of the spread. There's a huge window. I sent you that window this morning of uncertainty. It's very, very big. It's from the Gulf of Mexico all the way into the North Atlantic. And what I do for people is I put where I think the most likely track is, and it's in between to a point where, we're going to have anxious moments. This is going to start back west Wednesday night or Thursday, and I think by Saturday it's probably a short distance off the northern Bahamas. And then we'll evaluate what the playing field is.
So you're saying basically buckle up. This isn't the end of this.
No, it's not. We're in the middle of the hurricane season, and it's supposed to be an active season. So what's interesting is they're all really intensifying. They're not intensifying right off Africa. They're waiting until they get further and further west. Irma right now is in southwest Georgia, and it's heading into northern Alabama. It will not be like Harvey. We're going to have some big rains, but this is getting away from its source of energy. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we may be having record-breaking cold right now in Alabama and Georgia. This big high in the Northeast that's making it so nice in the Northeast is funneling cool air, and that air, when you rain into it, you get evaporational cooling. We're in the mid-50s in most of northern Alabama and northern Georgia right now with this storm. So the tropical characteristics are rapidly being diminished, and its source of energy from the Gulf of Mexico is too.
All right, Joe, you've been amazing the last couple of weeks, and by the sounds of it, we're going to have you back on by Wednesday or Thursday this week, and the official meteorologist of the Sean Hannity Show. If you need information, want to track with Joe Bastardi, Hurricane Jose, that could be hitting, again, the United States, just go to weatherbell.com. Thank you, Joe.
Say threatened, not hit yet, okay? So people don't
know what I mean. I have to be politically correct with the weather now. I mean, seriously, you know what I mean. Everybody knows what I mean, Joe.
It's a nutty. Can you believe this is what the world is today with all that stuff? You can't even say, you can't even identify threats. You'll offend somebody identifying a threat.
A hurricane hitting is not identifying a threat. I'm talking about, everyone knows what I'm talking about. All right, Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Thanks so much for all your help this week. By the way, do you know there was White House Chief of Staff General John Kelly fired back at a House Democrat who called him a disgrace to the uniform. Wow. Illinois Representative Luis Gutierrez leveled the criticism at Kelly over his support of the president's decision as to delay DACA for 6 months and let Congress get their act together. Anyway, Kelly responded by calling the Congress a do-nothing Congress. And then went on to say, as far as the congressmen and other irresponsible members of Congress are concerned, they have the luxury of saying what they want as they do nothing and have almost no responsibility. Love that. Good for him. so sick of these people. And I was watching Bannon this weekend, and I disagreed with what he said about Comey. I mean, you cannot have somebody that potentially is breaking the law and doing all the things Comey is doing. I don't think it was the biggest mistake by far. Yeah, maybe in retrospect, we could say, well, it would have prevented, you know, special counsel Mueller from being appointed. But then he railed against, you know, the Senate and leadership. And he's right. You've got 14 weeks. You know, the president showed that the government can effectively manage to do something well and right. He did all he has kept his promises on regulations and things he can do. The appointment of a conservative justice to the Supreme Court or originals to the Supreme Court. And he's right about the Democrats, too. They suck. The only thing Democrats stand for now is we hate Donald Trump. That's it. It's unbelievable. And I think, you know, he made a lot of powerful observations. And, you know, it's so funny to watch Charlie. Charlie Rose does not understand what it means to be a conservative. It's like one big he spent too much time on his program interviewing New York Times writers. Interesting development. Jeff Sessions wants the NSC staff to take lie detector tests. I like that. You saw more football this weekend, and you saw, you know, the same thing we saw with Colin Kaepernick. And I'm going to tell you right now, people are just tuning out. They're sick of seeing it because Americans instinctively love their country. They know it's imperfect. Here's another thing. You got a so-called civil rights lawyer calling for Betsy DeVos to be raped. I'm not wishing for it, but I'd be okay if hashtag Betsy DeVos was sexually assaulted. What is wrong with these people? They're so twisted, ugly, and sick. Anyway, we'll get to all this in the course of the program. We do have other information on North Korea. We have a potential with their anniversary coming up tomorrow of another ICBM launch. And how's the world going to react to that? All right, I want to remind you, and we'll get to your calls coming up. Also, Tonto Peronto is going to join us today. Kellyanne Conway at the top of the next hour. She'll join us. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher checks in with us today. Pam Bondi on the looting and price gouging, and Reverend Franklin Graham of Samaritan's Purse. We'll get to all that in the course of the show today. 800-941-SHAWN is a number. So Hillary's on her big book tour, which is her last book bombed, and these companies just keep giving her. You know, what happened? Well, Trump happened, and you were a horrible candidate, and she's not the genius everybody thinks she is.
Back up, you creep. Yeah, get away creep. From
All
me.
Right, stop. All right, I don't want to hear it. Anyway, Hillary blaming Comey, Russia, WikiLeaks, Facebook, fake news, voter ID laws, sexism, misogyny, all for losing. Then, of course, the Fox News Channel, talk radio, and everything in between, and the vast right-wing conspiracy. Can everyone say that really quickly? How about blaming yourself? Anyway, Kellyanne Conway, Tonto Peronto, Dana Rohrabacher, and much more straight ahead.
It was the worst attack on our country since Pearl Harbor, and even worse because this was an attack on civilians. Innocent men, women, and children whose lives were taken so needlessly. For the families with us on this anniversary, we know that not a single day goes by when you don't think about the loved one stolen from your life. Today, our entire nation grieves with you and with every family of those 2,977 innocent souls who were murdered by terrorists 16 years ago. Each family here today represents a son or daughter, a sister or brother, a mother or father who was taken from you on that terrible, terrible day. But no force on earth can ever take away your memories, diminish your love, or break your will to endure and carry on and go forward. Though we can never erase your pain or bring back those you lost, we can honor their sacrifice by pledging our resolve to do whatever we must to keep our people safe. The terrorists who attacked us thought they could incite fear and weaken our spirit. But America cannot be intimidated, and those who try will soon join the long list of vanquished enemies who dare to test our mettle. We are making plain to these savage killers that there is no dark corner beyond our reach, no sanctuary beyond our grasp, and nowhere to hide anywhere on this very large earth. Since 9/11, nearly 7,000 service members have given their lives fighting terrorists around the globe. Some of them rest just beyond this fence, in the shrine to our nation's heroes, on the grounds of Arlington National Cemetery. They came from all backgrounds, all races, all faiths, but they were all there to dedicate their lives, and they defend our one great American flag. Here on the west side of the Pentagon, terrorists tried to break our resolve. It's not going to happen. But where they left a mark with fire and rubble, Americans defiantly raised the Stars and Stripes, our beautiful flag that for more than two centuries has graced our ships, flown in our skies, and led our brave heroes to victory after victory in battle. The flag that binds us all together as Americans, who cherish our values and protect our way of life. The flag that reminds us today of who we are, what we stand for, and why we fight as one nation under God. America does not bend. We do not waver. And we will never, ever yield. So here at this memorial, with hearts both sad and determined, we honor every hero who keeps us safe and free. And we pledge to work together, to fight together, and to overcome together every enemy and obstacle that's ever in our path. Our values will endure. Our people will thrive. Our nation will prevail, and the memory of our loved ones will never, ever die.
All right, that was the president earlier today talking about 9/11 victims. We can honor their sacrifice by pledging our resolve to defend America. No dark corner where terrorists can hide. And saying America does not bend, waver, values endure. And from there, we go on. Joining us now is counsel to the president. Kellyanne Conway is with us. Kellyanne, thanks for being with us.
And,
you know, when you think about 9/11, 2001, 16 years ago, and 5 years ago, Benghazi, and, you know, the hurricanes and devastation yesterday, just the reality of life kind of hits you on a day like today.
It does. And that's why all the pettiness and the peevishness really just has to be diminished in each of our lives. I would encourage people, not just today, but every day, to reduce their social media examinations. Folks are getting ideas about who they are and what we all believe based on nonsense from complete strangers. I mean, you can't let people define you in 140 characters or less, and this president likely agrees. I was really struck by the president's remarks. I mean, a consummate New Yorker who witnessed those towers fall in his hometown from his perch at Trump Tower.
By the way,
I
want to interrupt you. I tweeted out 2 days after 9/11, Donald Trump was down at Ground Zero and did an interview, and I tweeted out parts of that. I don't know if you saw that.
That's amazing. He's a New Yorker. He's always there to help. And I was also struck by the vice president's comments in Shanksville, Pennsylvania today, the site of Flight 93 going down with those heroic passengers trying to take control of that plane. And Mike Pence really getting emotional today as he recalled he was a freshman member of Congress and that he feels we all owe a debt of gratitude to those brave men and women on that flight, because that plane was likely headed towards the nation's capital, and who knows, God forbid, what else, the further devastation. But it's a day we should honor, obviously, the fallen and their families, Sean, and never forget. But we should also really hold up and lift up so many profiles and courage, so many stories of heroism. And we see that again with the hurricanes neighbor to neighbor, patriot to patriot, stranger to stranger, really the best of American spirit and Americans' camaraderie. We don't see that all the time. I think it's just a day for reflection.
You know, it's funny because we've been friends for a long time. And one of the things that I agree with you on social media, it's so funny because I came to this conclusion just, I guess, a couple of months ago. I just said, you know what? This is never ending. And I really think I'm good at the Twitter fights, and nothing anybody says about me ever bothers me. I'm just way beyond that at this point in my life. And I just realized anything I have to say, I'm going to say it on radio and TV, and I'm going to use Twitter in a different way than I've used it before. And it's just a conscious decision, because you got these people, I imagine the keyboard warriors in their underwear with nothing else to do. And as soon as I tweet anything, it's on the left. It's these predictable, hateful people. And it's just, all right, it's getting old. And the same with the media people I fight with.
Yeah, I've learned to pray for them all, really. And as I've even told the president and others with whom I work, you know, out of 100 people who approach me, 99 will say some combination, Sean, of tell the president we're praying for him, or keep doing a great job, or thank you for your sacrifice, or tell the president we love him. And then people will say, look, I didn't vote for him, but I love my country. I want to give him a chance, or I think he's being treated unfairly. They don't even give him an opportunity to succeed. It's really 99 out of 100 people who approach me say things like that, and they're not all Trump voters. They're not all conservatives like you and me, but they love America and they want us to succeed. It's really the people hiding behind these social media platforms and nameless faces. And I'm thinking, what could have you so miserable in your own life that you speak this way about total strangers, or you describe folks, you know, who have children, or you describe children who have parents? It's so beyond comprehension for anybody who's happy and productive. And look, express your opinions, but disagree on policy. Don't insult people personally. And you see so much of that on social media. And this is not about what's directed toward you or me or anyone else. We have very broad shoulders. I'm just saying, generally, I have to say, you and I are raising children in these times, and some of it's just a cesspool out there. But anyway, that's why we like to point out these stories of courage. And I was also struck by what the president said yesterday on September 10th, which is, we're not talking about money right now, we're talking about lives. When he was asked a question about funding for hurricane relief, and we saw the devastation of Harvey, now Irma, people are watching Jose barrel down perhaps this week, and we just want Americans to know at the White House and administration-wide, Sean, that this is a president, vice president, cabinet, all of us who are praying for them, but also want to make sure they get the relief and the recovery funds that they need, and that when you look around the corner, that's when a lot of the rebuilding occurs, that we don't know what will face people. We don't know what the losses in property and whatnot will be, but also people, when they lose their power, they tend to turn to other means of power, and that's when people get carbon monoxide problem. They turn on generators they hadn't used, and I was reading up a lot about that in past disasters, where it's what happens after Mother Nature goes through. A lot of the devastation, God forbid, deaths happen afterwards. So people, don't let your curiosity get in the way of your safety. If in doubt, just don't do it. Stay in the shelter, go to someone else's home, and just listen to those local authorities. I think this is where government functions best. Those of us who want a more limited, less active government have to appreciate the coordinated efforts of local, state, and federal governments when it comes to
the
response.
I started the show today, and I've known you for well over two decades now. We've been friends a long time. We've done a lot of TV and radio programs together. Neither one of us are big believers in government, and especially big, bloated bureaucracy and government as it's now developed into what it is today. And it kind of was refreshing between the two hurricanes to see Governor Abbott, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, to see Rick Scott in Florida and Pam Bondi, both friends of mine, and to see all the local authorities do everything right and coordinate with the federal government and pre-positioning food, water, medicine, supplies, and Mad Dog Mattis thinking this is going to be possible death and destruction, positioning four Navy ships. It just is nice to see it work. We've seen what happens when it doesn't work, i.e. Katrina. And it's just refreshing because, you know, and now to follow up and take care of those people that are going to need help, rightly so. I mean, I just think it's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do. And again, if people feel like they can volunteer their time, give a couple extra dollars, if they feel comfortable doing that, they should just look at go for the local or the federal. They can access the information on any federal website. DHS has it up. FEMA has it up. American Red Cross, obviously. No, I'm not advocating for anybody to do that. I'm merely connecting people with information, which, by the way, Sean, is really, I think, first and foremost, the job of the media. I'm this loud voice in the administration for always talking about incomplete coverage. Please connect people with the information they need. It's because of technology, because of the forecasting, because of social media, because of multimedia platforms, TV, radio, social media, and elsewise, is how people are getting so much information ahead of time about evacuation, about the risks, about what to do and how to do it and how to help. I think it's mitigating a lot of these losses, and one death is too many and tragic. fact that that so many losses have been mitigated here because people are listening and they're heeding authority and they're taking the word of their governors and their mayors, and they're not saying, which party do you belong to and should I trust you? Just listen, err on the side of caution. And I we just have to say that as they try to clean up and recover, because that's when a lot of these problems happen. But you remember 9/11, there was a feeling of camaraderie, a great deal of confusion and consternation and grief, but that a lot of camaraderie and coming together, and we haven't seen that in quite a while now. And for all these people, all these detractors who say, oh, the president keeps missing opportunities to unify the country, he's been doing that a lot lately. And maybe he's not getting the credit and the visibility for it that he deserves and that people need to see. But he's been taking the lead. Leaders do this. When a country or people in different states are suffering, are hurting, a country is remembering, grieving, vice presidents go to Shanksville, presidents go to the Pentagon. They do what the nation needs. And I think it all begins at the top with leadership, and he's showing it.
Well, I agree with you. All right, we've got to take a quick break. More with Kellyanne Conway, counsel to the president, on the other side as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. As we continue, Kellyanne Conway is with us, special counsel to the president. What did you think of the New York Times piece? Because I know a lot was made over the fact that I was a little shocked that the Republicans last week were ill-prepared to go forward with the debt ceiling. They had just been off pretty much the entire month of August, and the president wanted to get immediate aid to the victims of Hurricane Harvey, so he extended the debt ceiling for 3 months, and a lot of people are angry. The New York Times headline was, "Bound to no party, Trump ends 150 years of two-party rule." Now, people ask me all the time what I like about the president. It's like he keeps advocating everything he said on the campaign trail with no deviation that I see, and that the president wants the economic plan, the energy plan, the border wall, conservative justices. I don't see any deviation except that, you know, he's trying to get things done, and I see a party not prepared to move at the speed of anything at this point.
They're looking at this through an ideological prism, where they should be looking at it through the facts of disruption, and that Donald Trump said he's going to come to Washington owing no one anything. And that frees him up to keep those promises. And you see at these rallies now, his biggest applause lines are still his program. Drain the swamp, repeal and replace Obamacare, cut taxes, put ISIS in defeat, American exceptionalism, invest in the military, respect the first responders, fight terrorism, keep us safe and secure, secure our borders, build the wall. It's all there, Sean, and it's never changed. The fact is, he wanted to make sure a couple things happened last week. One is that the aid and assistance get to those hurricane victims as soon as possible, and that's before Irma hit. This is about Harvey even. Number two, that he wanted to make sure that that he has room in the legislative agenda to get things done between now and December, when the 3 month CR would run out. And those who want to negotiate for a longer one have more time now to make their case. Those who want to get rid of the debt ceiling have more time now to make their case. But in the interim, he's still talking about building that wall and getting the funding this year. Tax reform very much in our sights. We feel like we can get it done in the next 90 days with the right help.
Hope so.
He certainly, you know, there's just so much to do. And he also wanted to keep his options open on military spending. So this is a president who leads. He governs the way he ran, which is, I'm coming to make a change. And people just, you know, people in the swamp just can't get used to it.
Kellyanne, thank you for being with us. Thanks for all you're doing as well. I know you're working hard every day, and we appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sean. God bless the country. Take care.
Sean Hannity talks to the people involved in the top stories of the day, every day. Sean Hannity is on.
This is a fairly volatile situation, and it is in response not to United States policy, not to, obviously, the administration, not to the American people. It is in response to a video.
Some have sought to justify this vicious behavior along with the protest that took place at our embassy in Cairo yesterday as a response to inflammatory material posted on the Internet.
We can all condemn this reprehensible video.
It was a crude and disgusting video, sparked outrage throughout the Muslim world. Now, I have made it clear that the United States government had nothing to do with this video.
But were any of these U.S. military personnel not permitted to travel on a rescue mission or relief mission to Benghazi?
They were not authorized to travel.
How did the personnel react to being told to stand down?
They were furious.
Where'd that message come down? Where'd the stand down order come from?
I believe it came from either AFRICOM or SOC Africa.
The movie opened this weekend. It's called 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. It's a cinematic version of a nonfiction book telling the story of the six private security contractors who defended the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, from an attack by Islamic militants. Are you planning to see it at all?
I'm just too busy campaigning.
So I'm kind of raising up in a crouched position, starting to shoot. And as I do, I see Tyrone's in a fetal position at my left and my feet. And his gun's gone. He's not shooting. So he's out of the fight. I turn back to start shooting. And as I raise my left hand up, I realize that from about 6 inches above the wrist, it's kind of hanging off at a 90-degree angle.
Some of the family are still very distraught. One of the mothers said that she still feels all this time that she has not had sufficient answers. How do you relate to her as a mother?
Oh, I totally relate to her as a mother, or to any of the family members of the four Americans who were killed that night.
My name is Patricia Smith. My son, Sean, was one of four brave Americans killed during the 2012 terrorist attack at Benghazi. Sean was a wonderful son and father to my two amazing grandchildren. That night, we lost sons, brothers, fathers, and husbands. We lost four brave Americans who made the ultimate sacrifice for the country they chose to serve, and the American people lost the truth. I blame Hillary Clinton personally for the death of my son.
I spoke to her at the coffin ceremony, and she told me what she told me within about 5 feet of my son's coffin, and she lied to me then.
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
It was the worst attack on our country since Pearl Harbor, and even worse because this was an attack on civilians, innocent men, women, and children whose lives were taken so needlessly. For the families with us on this anniversary, we know that not a single day goes by when you don't think about the loved one stolen from your life. Today, our entire nation grieves with you and with every family of those 2,977 innocent souls who were murdered by terrorists 16 years ago. Each family here today represents a son or daughter, a sister or brother, a mother or father who was taken from you on that terrible, terrible day. But no force on earth can ever take away your memories, diminish your love, or break your will to endure and carry on and go forward. Though we can never erase your pain or bring back those you lost, we can honor their sacrifice by pledging our resolve to do whatever we must to keep our people safe.
All right, 23 now till the top of the hour. Toll free, our telephone number is 800-941-SEAN. 16 years since 9/11/2001, and 5 years since Benghazi 2012, 9/11. Joining us now, Chris Tanto-Paranto. Now, he was one of the heroes of Benghazi, saved so many different people and lives, and he was one of the people given a stand-down order and recognized immediately that, well, we had nothing to do with the YouTube video. It was nothing but one huge, massive, big lie, that this was never a spontaneous demonstration. It never made sense anyway, because who shows up to a spontaneous demonstration with mortars and, you know, rocket-fired grenades in their back pocket? Never made sense. This was an attack, a terrorist attack. It was from the get-go, and they consciously, we learned later, it was just an outright lie. And, you know, you heard some of the family members say they were just lied to directly to their face by Hillary and others. So anyway, Tanto-Paranto joins us. Congressman Dana Rohrabacher of California is with us to talk about his experience, personal experience with 9/11. And he was warned in advance that there would be a signal of an imminent attack and the assassination of his friend and the tribal chieftain, Mossad, 2 days before was that signal. Anyway, he made an appointment with Condi Rice at the White House to warn her Alas, the appointment was the morning of 9/11. Anyway, guys, welcome to this program. We're just not going to stop thinking and talking about it because I know that other networks have moved on. I haven't seen anything near the coverage we've seen in years past. But Congressman Rohrabacher, I had not known this story that there was some advanced signal that you knew of and you were acting on it.
Well, I had been involved with the Mujahideen and their fight against Soviet occupation. So I had friends there, and I'd been working with various tribal leaders to try to offer an alternative to the Taliban. And so I got tipped off that there was a major terrorist attack being planned. And I assumed that the CIA knew that. If I was quote, why didn't they? And they said it would follow a major event in Afghanistan. And when Commander Massoud was murdered, he was one of the great anti-Taliban leaders. I'd gone up there to meet him in the Panjshir Valley. He was also an anti-Soviet leader, and they murdered him. And I knew at that point, they said, if they killed him then, it was so that we could not retaliate against them by helping him. And I said, boy, if that's the way it is, this is going to be one hell of a terrorist attack. I tried to warn everybody, and quite frankly, the day before, I sort of felt like William Shatner on that airplane in Twilight Zone. Nobody would believe him that there was a monster trying to destroy the plane. So,
why did you think that this was the sign, though? Why would the assassination of a tribal, you know, chief be a sign to you or a signal to you that something big was going to happen here?
Yeah, he was sort of the warlord of all warlords, the chief of all chiefs. He was the only leader in Afghanistan at that time that posed the real threat to the Taliban. And the guy the tip off that I got was at a high level from someone who had helped me during the wars against the Soviets, who was then a Taliban leader. And I believed that the CIA must have known. By the way, what we're talking about now.
Oh, you believe the CIA must have known. Whoa, slow down. You believe the CIA knew that 9/11 was happening?
No, I believe the CIA, that this is one of the biggest screw-ups in the history of our intelligence community. And afterwards, after this, we end up with what you're commemorating today also, which is the right thing to do, the politicalization of our intelligence community by the last administration, especially by Hillary Clinton. And we see that even today, the politicalization of our intelligence community, who's trying to tell us a big lie, again, just like Benghazi, the big lie. And the big lie today is, oh, it was Trump colluding with the Russians that stole the last election.
Before I get to Chris Tanto-Baronto here, and he can wait, even he's a friend of mine. You know, he's not exactly our favorite guest. I'm kidding. He's one of my best friends.
he's our hero.
He is. And by the way, he gives me a much harder time than I ever give him. So I feel defensive and I need to strike first. But Congressman, I really want to, are you, because this is very, very important. We know that there was no coordination with the FBI and the CIA. That was supposed to be one of the things that we fixed. I agree with you that we've seen no evidence of any type of collusion between the Trump campaign and this Russia issue. Russia has tried to influence elections in the past. They tried in this election. They'll try in future elections. That's all been testimony. Nobody has given us any evidence of any collusion. And you believe now that there's a 99%+ certainty that it never happened and that there's evidence that'll prove that.
That's correct. And remember, what we're talking about today again is our intelligence services were politicized by Hillary and Obama, and that's why 5 years ago, when our guys were on the line in Benghazi, they were betrayed. And now that shows you, when they went along, when the intelligence communities went along with that phony story that there was some, these people were just mad about a video that was done, when obviously this was a major terrorist attack commemorating 9/11, but our intelligence committees backed up Hillary in that, and now they're backing up the former president and Hillary, saying that Hillary didn't lose the election. It was stolen by collusion between Trump and the Russians. Again, just politicized intelligence. It's wrong, and it needs to be exposed.
All right, both of you stay right there. Chris Tanto-Baronto and Congressman Dana Rohrabacher, as we continue, 800-941-SEAN is our number. All right, Tanto Peronto, you are a hero, and I do give you a hard time, but I do love you, and we've become really good friends over the years. When you guys first saw the coverage and you first saw them blame this YouTube video as it relates to Benghazi, and then you knew a stand-down order was given because it was given to you, and you saw all the lying that was told about this, what was your first reaction when you saw it?
I was actually just woken up in Germany. Then a couple of days after, we finally got to Germany out of Tripoli. And I'll be honest, I wasn't upset, but I was. That's pretty much what I expected. It was that kind of reaction. Well, I expected that. I thought for a second, man, I wish they could have come up with something a little bit better than a video. And that was it. And I think that even says even more so of how much corruption there was in D.C., how much corruption there was even within the agency itself, was that I fully expected them to cover it up. But I just figured they could have thought of a better story.
I mean, it's sad. I mean, it's sort of like heading into these two hurricanes. You know, I'm kind of like, are they going to screw this up? And as I was saying at the beginning of the program, and it's kind of nice once in a while to see the government can get something right, and they had actually pre-positioned water and food and medicine and supplies and baby formula and cots and blankets and pillows, my pillow, I hope. But in all honesty, I mean, you know, for two hurricanes in a row, they actually had their act together. It's pretty amazing because, like you, my expectations are not high, and you expecting them to lie is so typical of, I think, It's the opinion that most people have because governments earned it. Let's put it that way.
And they do. And what we did, and by, first of all, the heroism, of course, by Tyrone and Glenn and sacrificing their lives to save others, but by the team standing up and saying something outwardly, publicly, and saying, no, they are lying. This isn't correct. This is what happened. I really feel that we started to show the American public, hey, you know what? We're exposing this corruption that's going on in D.C. This is happening all the time. But this incident in particular, where an ambassador died, and they still want to try to cover it up, and they left us to die.
All these people died, and you were at the annex. And how many times were you told to stand down? Just in case there's any ambiguity, we just played the tape of both the president at the time, Obama, and Hillary Clinton. And Hillary still hasn't told the truth, except that, you know, what difference at this point does it make? Which I think became a big issue in the campaign.
And that still disgusts me. It makes a huge difference when you leave your guys to die overseas when they're fighting for their lives. But three times, two waits, one stand down. And we're not even counting the stand down orders that were given to the military when they were trying to come and help us. So, you know, the multitude of stand downs, we just disobeyed orders and did the right thing. And because of it, we lost our security clearances, which is basically we were fired for doing the right thing. But that was what needed to be done. You always do the right thing, no matter the consequences. And we did it.
Yeah. You know, I think of the Iranian deal and I look at the bad Clinton deal on North Korea. And I actually wrote a friend of mine today who lost a very close relative, a brother, on 9/11. And I said, I can't believe we still don't understand radical Islam. And you look at these deals and you got to think, boy, we really can be stupid. All right, guys, we got to let you go here. Dana Rohrabacher and Chris Tanto Peronto, my two good friends, thank you for being with us. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your busy day.
Thank you, Sean.
Yes,
and I hope I'll be able to get the word to the president about what we know in terms of the fact that it wasn't, of who actually did it. It wasn't the Russians who got those emails from the DNC, and we need to get that word to the president.
All right, I appreciate it. And Tanto Peronto, God bless you, my friend. Thank you. All right, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. A lot more to come on this busy 9/11, 16 years later of 2001, 5 years post-Benghazi. And, of course, we have the rest of our Hurricane Irma coverage and more.
Chairman, the storm hit you a Category 3 with winds of about 115 miles per hour. Can you just describe for us what it was like to be there?
Certainly nothing like any of us have ever experienced. A wind event of terrific proportions. It knocked down most of the street signs on the island. It stripped most of the non-palm trees of their leaves. The palm fronds that litter the island. Most of the residents took our advice and took their personal effects inside. So we don't need the kind of litter that you might be associated with, let's say, a tornado. But it's clear that a tremendous storm came through this area.
Are you, Mr. Chairman, expecting, you said 1,000 people stayed behind. We're looking at pictures right now of just incredibly strong winds. Are you expecting or fearing at all the worst that there may be casualties in this storm on your island?
We certainly do fear that, Willie. Thank you for asking. That's the number one concern of all of us on Marco Island. We just don't know. As I say, we have our first responder crew here ready to care for people. All of our first responders are qualified, and all of our fire rescue people are qualified in advanced life support. But I hope we don't have to use that. But we don't know at this point.
The sun is up now over Florida this morning with 7:22 Florida time. What are you seeing as the sun rises?
It's howling outside. Willie, first light, the highest winds. This Mother Nature has a mind of her own. She was supposed to go up the west coast. North of Fort Myers, she suddenly decided otherwise, came inland and headed for between Orlando and Tampa. So at 1:30 in the morning, we were getting winds of 100 miles an hour, and it was howling then. Lo and behold, it is still howling now.
So what are your biggest concerns right now, Senator? Because obviously we want to talk to you about what has happened further south, but you still have an active life-threatening situation in northern Florida now.
That's right. And this storm has covered up almost the entire state except for the western panhandle out near Pensacola. So there's going to be massive damage. There's going to be a lot of people displaced. There are going to be millions and millions of people already without power. It's going to take a while to get back to normal. FEMA is really going to have a job because not only are they stretched to Texas, now they're going to have a huge task in Florida.
All right, there you hear all that's happening, the aftermath, obviously, of what's going on post-hurricane. Joining us now, Pam Bondi, the Attorney General for the great state of Florida, as well as from Samaritan's Purse, the Reverend Franklin Graham is back with us. Reverend, welcome to you. Pam, welcome back to you. It looked like it turned out much better for the state than we originally thought. But we still have a lot of damage that occurred, a lot of people's lives upended. It's going to take a lot of money and resources. Where are we right now in terms of the effort to get people back in their homes and certainly helping people that have had such great damage that they can't go back to their home?
Well, Sean and Reverend Graham, I want to tell you thank you for all your prayers because prayers work for Florida. You know, when people were texting us from all over the country, we said, please pray, and prayers worked. But right now, the damage is extensive. Sean, I've been at the EOC Emergency Operations Center in Hillsborough County all morning working with personnel there. I just landed in a law enforcement helicopter. We had flown up. I'm trying to send your station some photos of that. I mean, just complete homes underwater. But for the most part, we were really blessed. The thing right now is getting power on. I've been on the phone with Rob Bennett, who's CEO of Tampa Electric, and of course Eric Salagi with Florida Power and Light, and they're bringing trucks in from everywhere trying to get power up and running for our state. Hospitals are priority, then shelters, of course, and then folks' homes. But really, it could have hit us a lot worse. But even if you're familiar with Florida at all, the Anna Maria Island, it's a small bridge that goes over to Anna Maria. It's opening up again for residents. So the way the winds were blowing, and you know, I'm from Tampa Bay. I've never seen anything like this in my life. On Bayshore, it's the longest sidewalk in the world, actually. And Bayshore, the Tampa Bay, the winds had pushed the bay away. The Bayshore had become a sandy beach.
Same thing happened to some extent in Naples, too. Literally, the beach was never as big as it was, and then in comes the surge.
Yes. Sean, if I could just mention, too, when I left the Emergency Operations Center, I want to personally thank the Red Cross. They have, I mean, throughout the state, there are 580 evacuation centers. 258 of those are run by the Red Cross, and hundreds of volunteers for the Red Cross all over our state. And, you know, if people want to donate, your viewers, you know you're safe going to redcross.org.
I work with Franklin over these many, many years, and I've always donated to Samaritan's Purse. Reverend, you have no clue, but I did send a donation after Harvey. I will send a donation and send some money over today or tomorrow for the people in Florida. Before I get to Reverend Graham, how much do you think the damage is? Do you have any estimates now? It's going to be in the billions, obviously.
Sean, it is, and we don't know yet. Again, we're still assessing it as far as areas that are safe to get back into. It's actually, you know, safe for law enforcement now to get back into the Keys even. We could have taken a worse hit than we did, but, you know, I've lived here my entire life, and I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. You know, now, of course, we look for different scams going on and, you know, the predators who come in to prey on our citizens. But it's really been something else. But I can tell you, it's federal, state, local law enforcement, our National Guard, FEMA, the White House has been incredible, giving us the resources we need. And Governor Scott has been out there tirelessly working, you know, spreading the word. And, Sean, I think the fatalities were so minimal because so many people chose to leave their homes and heeded the warning. So that was a very positive thing.
I know. And some people say, oh, why did I leave? At the last minute, it moved westward. I mean, thank God it moved westward. Reverend Graham, good to talk to you again. What I've always loved, and I had the blessing once of going on a trip with you with Samaritan's Purse, and for years I support your efforts and Operation Christmas Child, and you're still in Haiti. You never give up in parts of the world when other people have long forgotten it. And I know you have a big team down in Texas, and I assume you were staging people before Irma to head down to Florida. And I know that Samaritan's Purse is going to be up to their eyeballs in probably years of help and assistance and work.
We are, Sean. We've got two teams that are in Florida now. They'll be set up in Fort Myers and in Naples this evening. And Sean, we'll be there for weeks. Helping especially people that got flooded, because that's the mess when water comes into a home. You've got to be able to get all the wet things out, let the house dry out, and that just takes time. But we're also working, Sean, in the Caribbean. We're at St. Martin. We went in Thursday, just a few days after the hurricane hit. We had a DC-8 in there with 80,000 pounds of plastic. We've taken generators in there. Our DC-8 was back in there yesterday into St. Martin. We've got a team set up. We're setting a distribution center up at San Juan so that we can go to Antigua, Barbuda, and some of these other islands that have smaller airstrips on them. The World Food Program took, I think it was 60,000, they took in 60 tons of food into Port-au-Prince in Haiti, thinking the storm was going to hit there, and it didn't. They've asked us to move half that food for them, which we're going to do, and take that to St. Martin and into Antigua. So we're going to be busy, Sean. The islands really got smashed, and it's going to take years for
them
to come
back. Did you see Barbuda? 95% of dwellings destroyed, just wiped out.
That's right. And we're going to go to Barbuda, and we'll be in there this week. Unfortunately, most of those people have been moved off the island, and they've gone over to the main island of Antigua, and they're in a stadium there. And that's where the World Food Program wants us to get this food to them, which we'll have that food in there, I think, by tomorrow into Antigua. But Sean, anytime a storm like this comes, it's a mess, and it just takes time. And all you can do is get on the ground and start working and figure it out as you go. If you wait at home to try to figure it all out, you'll never get there. You just got to go and start the process. When we went into St. Martin last Thursday, the airport wasn't open. We landed, and there were a few Dutch Marines, and they were surprised, what are you guys doing here? They helped us unload the airplane, and we started taking – we took Jonathan Falwell, of all people. He was down there.
He's a great guy. Love him.
Son. We got him out of there.
It's the anniversary, the 16th anniversary of 9/11/2001, the 5th anniversary of Benghazi, and that was 2012. And then we had the hurricanes, first Harvey, now Irma, all over the weekend. And it's still, by the way, you know, headed towards, you know, areas in Georgia and Alabama as we speak, and into Tennessee, I think. And we saw the worst in humanity an unspeakable evil on 9/11, Pam, and then we saw the best in humanity, the firemen, the policemen, the first responders, you know, all of the community, you know, feeding those guys and everybody, you know, coming together in ways we've never seen. The same with Texas and the same that happened, you know, in Florida. Everybody's working together, but then you always have, you know, darkness and evil. And you had people that were price gouging, which really ticks me off, and selling bottles of water for $40 a case. And other people, apparently, I saw the videos of looting. We'll show it on TV tonight. What are you going to be able to do in regards to these issues?
Well, and you're right, Sean, and to always start off, we see so much more good than bad, like you said, and we're seeing it now. If you could have seen the Emergency Operations Center this morning, all the folks volunteering and Reverend Graham, everything that you're doing, it's unbelievable. But yes, you know, and now we get a whole different group of price gougers, Sean, the different people. And frankly, a lot of them are coming in from other states to prey on Floridians. They're coming in, and folks, if you live in Florida and you're listening to this and somebody's coming up to your door and they want you to use them for contracting services and they want you to sign something to assign your insurance benefits away to them, don't do it. Talk to your insurance company first. Get quotes, get itemized things. Do not be paying people, especially people who come knocking on your door, any money in advance at all. And again, our hotline is 1-866-9-NO-SCAM. As far as the looters, I can tell you that law enforcement will be out in force everywhere, and we will show looters no mercy throughout our state.
I'm so glad to hear that. We have videos of them. All right, stay right there. We got to take a quick break. Franklin Graham, Samaritan's Purse. We have a link if you want to help the people in Florida or Barbuda, and you can earmark it any particular place you want to earmark it, as is normally the case with Samaritan's Purse. We'll have more with Pam Bondi. Pam will be on TV tonight. We'll show you this looting video. It's going to break your heart, considering everybody was working together, and state, local, federal government actually coordinated and did a good job for once, which is refreshing. Listen. All right, as we continue, Franklin Graham with Samaritan's Purse and all the people in the United States, Barbuda, everywhere else that were impacted by Hurricane Irma. You know, after seeing Barbuda, that scared the living daylights out of me, Reverend, with 95% of dwellings knocked down. Now, with your contact with some of these smaller islands, do you know how many people died as a result of this hurricane?
No, Sean, we don't have that information yet, and I'm not sure the local people have that information. It is, it looks, Sean, like a war zone, like an atomic bomb or something went off. It just flattened everything. Even the steel reinforced communication towers were blown over. So it's going to take a long time for these islands, but whoever was affected by the storm, Florida, the islands, people need to know that God is not mad at them. Some people ask me after a storm.
I think he's just mad at Hannity
wrong?
Because Hannity's the biggest pain in the neck he's dealt with in a long time.
Well, I tell you, God loves us, Sean, and I want the people of these islands to know that God hasn't forgotten them. He hadn't turned his back on them, and that we're going to do everything we can to help them and to help them not only just get through this, but to help them get on their way again. And that's what's so important. And that's why we need volunteers. We have, in Florida, we will be able to use about 400 to 500 volunteers a day.
And these volunteers, and people, by the way, and people are volunteering. A lot of people volunteered after Harvey, right?
Yes, and we've got a lot of people right now in Texas. And if you call and if you want to volunteer, if the number is busy, call back. But we're going to need volunteers, not just for this week or next week, but Sean, we'll need volunteers into next year that we're willing to go in and work in these homes and help people, especially those that don't have insurance. That's what we focus on. We focus on the elderly. And we also, for military people who are deployed and are not able to come home, of course, we want to be able to help those families and be there for them because they're overseas defending us. We want to be able to help them at home. So we make them a high priority.
Pam, we'll give you the last word.
Well, and that's why, like you said, Samaritan's Purse is a great legitimate charity. Please help Reverend Graham, because you will have charity scams calling you and preying on our good-natured people around the country wanting people to donate. But donate to legitimate charities that you know who are going to help people. And, Sean, thank you for spreading the word. And, Reverend Graham, thank you for all you're doing and your prayers.
All right, guys, we'll see you both soon. Thank you both for what you're doing, and we're just glad most people in Florida, thank God, are safe, and that there's going to be help and assistance along the way. We have on Hannity.com a link to Samaritan's Purse if any of you want to help. Quick break. All right, 25 down till the top of the hour. Toll-free, our telephone number is 800-941-SHAWN. We're going to get to your calls here in just a minute. One of the things I read over the weekend, that what MSNBC used to do on every 9/11 anniversary is literally play out live everything that happened that day, the evil that we faced then, and frankly we face today. I refuse to forget, and in large part because we don't learn sometimes, and I think it's imperative that we remember. Our friend Michael W. Smith put together this song. It's called There She Stands, and he did this after being encouraged by President George W. Bush to write a song about what happened. And then we put in all the accompanying sound to remind you of that awful day where we lost so many of our friends and neighbors. There She Stands.
This just into our newsroom, a plane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
Apparently that was another plane.
Seems to say.
An airplane has crashed into the World Trade Center.
All is lost.
There appears to be a gaping hole.
Gone away.
Oh, there it goes.
But I know.
The whole side has collapsed.
The whole building has collapsed.
Not alone.
Tower 2 has had a major explosion and a complete collapse.
By the light. She stands.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center.
There she waits.
We're not going to be cowed by it, that we're not afraid.
Faithful friend.
The freedom-loving nations of the world stand by our side.
Shimmering stars.
Proud to have the red, white, and blue.
Westward wind.
This country will not relent.
Show away.
To be a part of this country.
Carry me.
I think about the families, the children.
To the place.
Freedom itself was attacked, and freedom will be defended.
She stands.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you.
Just when you think it might be over.
Come on!
Just when you think the fight is gone.
Resolve of our great nation is being tested.
There she stands.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, for liberty and justice for all.
There she flies.
We will not forget the 2,800 people.
Police and fire, not only were heroes at the beginning, but they're still heroes.
Minds us with red.
We're going to come out of this emotionally stronger.
Those that die.
And the commitment of our fathers is now the calling of our time.
Wise to
wise. I don't think anybody should forget the visions of that day.
By the brave.
Those guys did more than anyone ever expected of them.
In this dream.
They messed with the wrong city. They messed with the wrong state.
She stands.
And I just don't want people to forget.
A sense of duty to protect us all.
When all your hopes come crashing down,
we'll be steadfast in our determination.
Someone will pull us from the rubble.
The rest of the country now understand who the true defenders are.
There she stands.
May the Irish hills caress you. May her lakes and rivers bless you.
We see the flying sword and tatter.
May the luck of the Irish enfold you. May the blessings of St. Patrick behold you.
And through it all, the fools have
bless Ireland, and God bless the United States of America.
There she stands.
Now America's embracing a new ethic and a new creed. Let's roll.
By the dawn.
The phrase New York's finest and New York's bravest means something now, doesn't it?
This is a time to reflect and be thankful for where we are today.
And through the fight,
we will rebuild New York City.
She stands.
Yet after America was attacked, it was as if our entire country looked into a mirror and saw our better selves.
I don't know. Every time I hear that, it just brings me back and it just sobers you. You just stop. You remember. You can't even believe that we've been through this trauma. And then we've just got to ask ourselves, where have we gone from that? How did we just give Iran billions and billions and billions of dollars? Especially when we're finding out North Korea has nukes and now they have ICBMs. I'm like, okay, Bill Clinton told us, oh, we're going to give them billions and they're not going to have a nuclear weapon. They're going to get rid of all their nuclear stuff. And this is a good deal for the American people. Well, it wasn't a good deal, nor will Iran through the prism of history be a good deal either. And we'll literally look back and realize we funded their nuclear program. And when you hear what happened 9/11 2001, you just got to say how the level of stupidity and ignorance is beyond breathtaking. Anyway, 800-941 Sean, our number. Let's get to our phones. Let's go to Nancy. Is in Fort Lauderdale. Wasn't hit as bad as we thought. Thank God, Nancy. Glad you called.
Well, Sean, I'm not in Fort Lauderdale. I got scared and I got the heck out of there. I am a Andrews survivor. And at midnight Wednesday night, my husband said, you're not going to stay for armor. You're getting in the car. So I loaded up my daughters, my granddaughter, and one suitcase, and off we went. And I
Good for you. But by the way, that was a smart thing. That was so smart.
Oh, you don't know it. But I wanted to thank you because we were listening to you in the car, and we're going to start heading home tomorrow, and we're going to listen to you again. But I also want to thank God for giving me the mercy to get and the strength to get out of there, for protecting everybody and doing what we had to do, and for him to protect everybody in the future to take care of us Floridians. And I want to thank all of America. You know, when we pulled into a Taco Bell in Kentucky, the man saw our license plate and we placed our order, and I gave him his $20 for our meal, and he gave me back $20 in change, and he said, God bless you. Just people all along the way were coming up to us and telling us, we're praying for you, we're praying for you. But also I want to thank President Trump, Vice President Pence, the FEMA, that cute guy, Brock Long. He is so cute to watch on TV. Attorney General Pam, for going after the ones that are scamming people. And Rick Scott, when you run for president, I want to work on your campaign. He has done an excellent job. When I was in Andrew, I had to wait weeks for my electric to come on. I had to wait weeks for a National Guard to come down and help me dig out my belongings, my home, clear the roadways. I am under the impression now from Facebook friends who stayed down there that stuff is going on right now. My husband is a hospital worker. Therefore, I knew he would be safe. My son-in-law stayed at home at his house with all the animals. We can't leave our animals down there by themselves. And we heard from him this morning, but I have not heard from my husband yet. And I know that's because he doesn't have any signals or any electricity or anything like that. And I'm good with that. I feel good about that. I know he's okay. But the other thing that was very important coming up from Florida at the time that we did with the millions of people, other people, was that we were seeing all the electrical trucks, all the Army people, all the convoys.
Wasn't that amazing, by the way? I mean,
I was crying. We were beeping the horns and waving at them. And then my granddaughter said, Nana, why are you acting like that? And I said, when you get home, you'll see why.
Glad you got out. 800-941 Sean. Sean is in Palm Beach, Florida. Hope you're doing well down there. You got hit a lot less than Southwest Florida. What's going on in Palm Beach?
Yes, I'm very thankful because I also am a Hurricane Andrew victim who lost my house. My house was completely destroyed with shutters, and I lived a half mile from the ocean, and I was within the eye wall of Andrew. So I know better than anyone when the governor says to evacuate, and I am so happy that he put so much emphasis on people getting out. And because even with shutters, I was in an evacuation area. My home was destroyed. Glass went through tile floors. Shutters had tiles go through
them. How close are you to the shore?
I was a half mile from the ocean.
Yeah.
And here in Palm Beach.
So all this happened, and you were riding this out.
Yeah, well, I evacuated. It was my parents' house.
Right.
And, you know, I just have to say.
Listen, this is the thing. If you think of, and I'm only looking at my own life, and I just remember when I got my first home. It happened to be in Roswell, Georgia, a number of years ago. And I remember I was the happiest guy on earth. Paid $123,000. And it had like an acre. And it was at the end of a cul-de-sac. And it was a dream house for me. And every single person I know, for the most part, their home is their biggest investment. And it literally is your life in that home in this way. That all those hours of work, all those years of study, you know, it's a culmination of a life's work. It's a culmination of your life. And for most people, and for those people, for example, in Texas that never dreamed that they'd need flood insurance, their homes, everything they work for is gone. We can't forget about Texas, you know, because those people are going to need help. And the one thing I think the president was right last week when he made the deal to extend the debt ceiling, because Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, for whatever reason, this is mind-numbing to me, didn't come back from their August recess with a plan on the debt ceiling. And so he's like, all right, I'll extend it. I just think we got to, I don't understand the lack of urgency. These people need their homes rebuilt. The ones that weren't asked and wasn't demanded of them to have flood insurance, you know, it's one of those things that can happen to anybody. And I think there's an adequate role for the federal government and the generosity of the American people. We're not going to let people's lives be upended to the point where their lives are ruined. To me, it's just not fair. And I'm not talking about fairness and that we fundamentally have to have fairness in society. We've got the ability to take care of that. So, you know, it's sad to hear these stories. But anyway, you get the final word. Go ahead, Sean. I'm glad you're safe, though. That was the most important thing.
Thank you. I'd also like to say it was interesting because I'm inland this time around. I live on PGA National around the golf course. And the canal behind the house, when the winds picked up and I was able to see out the back window, is we had several tornado wind warnings, which is really scary. And the winds, let me tell you, I mean, it felt like a Cat 5. And I guess the winds did pick up to about 100 miles per hour around here. But we could see the water in the canal literally be picked up out of the water. And the same thing happened with our swimming pool. It was really, it was unbelievable. And I had a lake in front of my street. And I mean, my neighborhood, somehow they drained it. But it was really incredible to see that. And, you know, I'm just very fortunate. And my heart goes out to those who haven't been as lucky as I have. And also, I'd like to say, everyone, please remember 9/11. May we never forget.
May we never forget. Have you forgotten my good friend Daryl Worley? Anyway, Sean, hang in there and help us on the way. You know, I love what we saw. I don't praise government very often. But I mean, you have the Coast Guard. I mean, in the wake of these hurricanes, they did amazing work. You look at, for example, what happened with, you know, General Mad Dog Mattis. He's like, all right, let's get these ships positioned over here. And then everybody pre-positioning everything that they're going to need for food, water supplies, and everything the people in Florida, we predictably knew that they would need. Anyway, so to me, it was a big, it's just nice. The governors were amazing. Abbott and Governor Scott were amazing. And we literally saw the best in people again. And I know some people are like, oh, you made me leave. And then the storm switched its path. Nobody can predict that. Bottom line is, it was still one of the worst storms. I think it was top 7 ever. And it's extraordinarily dangerous. And when you're talking about gambling with people's lives, if I'm in government and my job is to give people my best counsel, advice, I would never for a second regret, not one bit, telling people to err on the side of caution. And the people of Florida responded. Good for them. I was very proud of them. And, you know, but for the looters and those people price gouging, everything went pretty smoothly. And I know there's a disruption in everybody's life and it's a pain in the you know what, but better that you're alive and you get back to your normal life, hopefully, the majority of people. And then those that need help are going to get the help. right, Hannity tonight, 10 Eastern. The aftermath, obviously, of Hurricane Irma. What do people need, and when can they get back in their homes? When is power going to get back on? The devastation, the damage. Also tonight, we'll have Geraldo. He's on the ground. Pam Bondi on the looting and the price gouging. Also, we'll be checking in with Rob O'Neill, Greg Jarrett. Also, Deborah Burlingame and Rob O'Neill. Rob O'Neill killed Bin Laden. Deborah Burlingame lost her brother on 9/11. He was one of the pilots. All right, that's all happening tonight. Hannity, 10 Eastern, Fox News. And thanks for being with us. Our thoughts and prayers with the military, our men and women, our families that lost members in 9/11 in Benghazi, and also the victims of these hurricanes. See you back here tomorrow.